Maine's premier injury lawyers. 1-800-INJURED or HardyWolf.com.
Hey, we got sports games again.
Yeah! This is the Big Jab Saturday with Jeff Mannix.
You think you can crack the Czech Extraliga? Huh? You couldn't even crack the hockey off Svenska, let alone the Gjuik Ice Hockey Liga!
And Taylor Mannix.
Tell your mom to top up the cell phone she bought me so I can FaceTime her late night.
The Big Jab Saturday with Mannix and Mannix.
We're the biggest Pantene pros in the league. Mixing some big minutes for a couple of stick and pucksters.
So soupity whooper cute. Boobity boobity woo woo.
Join the conversation at 775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Your lives are so pathetic. I ran a charity 15K to raise awareness for it, losers.
Your breath is an existential crisis. Your lives are so sad. I get a charity tax break just for hanging out with you.
It's the Big Jab Saturday with Mannix and Mannix on the Big Jab 92.5 and 96.3. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
We are at this level, but we need to get to that level.
Get after it, then.
Good morning, and welcome into the final hour of the Big Jab Saturday with Mannix and Mannix here on the Big Jab 92.5 and 96.3. I'm Jeff. Taylor is here as well. And right now we're joined on the phone by a Maine athlete who played for a national championship a week ago today. Unfortunately, did not win it with his team, but we certainly wanted to bring him in and have his experiences on the radio. He hails from Kent's Hill, Maine, and he was a senior with the St. Cloud State Huskies this past season after spending three seasons prior to that with the Colgate Raiders of the ECAC. Jared Cockrell joins us on the line right now. Jared, thanks for getting us up a little early here for you in the Central Time Zone. How are you doing here a week after the title game?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's been a good week to hang out with the guys, relax a little bit. Obviously we came up short, but we had a lot of fun there.
Well, and talk a little bit about that playoff experience, man. What was the Frozen Four like for you and the team? Talk about your day-to-day life then that it was up there.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up obviously watching every Frozen Four, and it was something that I only dreamed about going to. So, all of us really tried to soak in every moment, enjoy it, try to get outside of the moment to really understand it. Every day it got more and more comfortable. And once the puck drops that Saturday night, it's just another hockey game. So, it was really, really special and really cool to be a part of.
Well, you were a senior with that St. Cloud State team here and playing in the NCHC. I know you transferred to St. Cloud State there to finish out your collegiate career. Can you tell us why you chose St. Cloud State here as the place you wanted to finish up?
Yeah, it just came down to really good people. I wasn't able to visit. I had to kind of make my relationships over the phone over the summer, and everything they said from the coaching staff and other players on the team, it's a group of really genuine, kind people. And that's kind of what was some of the reason where we got where we got. I think doing the right thing every day is something that pays off in the future, and that's what this group does.
Yeah, and before you made it there, your experience at Colgate, what did you learn at Colgate that helped you at St. Cloud University this season?
What pops in my head first is how to lose. We didn't win many games, and I it takes a certain mindset to take a loss and to get something positive out of it. So, it was a good for me experience to understand that, and then it makes winning that much more special, which we did a lot of this year. So, I'd say that.
Well, I mean, you certainly did do an awful lot of winning this year. Tell us what you felt like you were able to contribute to this roster that ended up as a national runner-up.
Yeah, I playing on a team that has such good people makes it so easy. It was a really quick turnaround from when I showed up at school to when we had to start playing. And the guys here, they included me in everything quickly and made me feel just like I was at home. So, I'm really grateful for that.
How important was that for you to establish those relationships with your teammates like that early on, and how much do you think they influenced your success this season with the way the locker room was?
Yeah, the relationships with your teammates that's the bulk of it. Like I said, I came in with myself and another grad transfer, and we lived together. He's my roommate here, and they took us in with open arms and just made it so easy. I'll always be grateful for them.
Well, let's talk about this season with St. Cloud a little bit. I mean, every team's season was affected by COVID-19 here in some way. I know the NCHC started their season with that Omaha bubble. What was that experience like, and was it good? Was it a good way to start the season, I guess, being able to be in one location and get some games in?
Yeah, I think once COVID happened, the last thing I thought I would ever do would be travel to a feeling like a Pee Wee tournament and stay in a hotel for 3 weeks and would play these great teams. But that was such a crazy experience that every team there, we're just so lucky to be there. There were a ton of teams in college hockey that weren't even able to practice at that point, and we were there getting in games. So I think our whole league got really lucky that way. And from a team standpoint, we got really, really fortunate with not getting COVID later in the year or anything during the playoff run. So we dodged a couple bullets that way. But again, yeah, the pod was a heck of an experience. And I think other than the Frozen Four, it'll be something I remember most from COVID. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, taking positives with the negatives. I mean, what was your favorite memory this year with St. Cloud University?
I think it has to be our win over Mankato in the Frozen Four first game. And, yeah, I think we won it with just, I think, 50 seconds left. So that was a really cool moment for everyone.
Yeah, certainly. And that was such a back-and-forth game there against another school from Minnesota, and I'd love to know your perspective there. I've gotten to broadcast a few college hockey games in the state of Minnesota and know how, especially for college hockey, how important of a piece that is for the hockey fans there. Tell me, for a kid from Maine, what was that experience like for you jumping into to a program at St. Cloud State and the state of Minnesota that calls itself the state of hockey?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's no joking around about it. That's what I found. They take it very seriously. Hockey is part of their culture. It seems like every kid here plays it growing up, and it's so important to them. And like you said, they all love their college teams, and I'm really lucky that I got to come experience that firsthand and just feel the support from the community. Obviously, it was a tough year with limited fans, but they always made a way to sound, make an impact. So,
Well, and you know, you mentioned Minnesota, obviously Maine, and Kent Hill especially has some tradition in hockey. What was your path at Kent Hill like in your recruiting process? Because obviously, you know, Colgate University is a little bit smaller, and then you make that jump to St. Cloud. What was the recruiting process for you like at Kent Hill before you made that next leap to college?
Yeah, I was a really late bloomer, so I didn't have much going on even as a senior at Kent Hill. I ended up going out to play junior hockey in Alberta for 2 years. Got really lucky and got on a good program there, and then got an offer to play at Colgate, and that was something I dreamt about, just playing at a good school, playing good hockey, and then through there, I ended up missing a year, my junior year, with a concussion, which gave me the extra year of eligibility to transfer to another school if I wanted it. And so that's how I ended up at St. Cloud.
Very good. And I know at Kent Hill, you played played for your father, Larry Cockrell, mm-hmm. who's now a member of the coaching staff with the University of Maine. What was that like to play for Dad in the prep school setting?
Yeah, it was great for me, obviously, but we were always able to, you know, keep a a coach and player relationship at the rink and a father son away from it. So it always worked well for us, and I'm really glad he could be a part of it. And you know, come enjoy the games these days and stay in tune that way.
Yeah, it's so cool to have that little family connection there at such a young start. And, of course, you know, after Kensel, you mentioned that you went to, I think it's the Brooks Bandits, actually, yep. The AJHL. You had quite a couple seasons with them, a 36-goal season with one of that. What was that experience like? And you know, how much did you learn when going into that junior league compared to the prep league at Kensel?
I think the best part about it was it was hockey 24/7. That was kind of the first taste of, you know, really devoting everything and all my time to hockey and not splitting it with school. So it was special that way. I think I made my biggest improvements there. It was a really physical league out in Alberta compared to the prep school league in New England. So I had to change a little bit that way, get used to that speed and size of that game, but. No, I got very fortunate to be on that team with a lot of great players and a really good coach.
That's excellent. We're speaking with Jared Cockrell, just completed his men's college hockey career with the St. Cloud State Huskies as a national runner-up, losing the national championship a week ago today to the UMass Minutemen. And I would like to ask, just from playing in that game, I mean, certainly watching it, UMass was on another level in that championship game. Tell me how you felt like that game went, and did they just play a better game than you on that one day?
Yeah, it was a strange game for sure. But I think a really important part of the story is 2 years ago, the same thing happened to them that happened to us.
Yeah.
They lost the championship, and they had to go through all those feelings of losing and coming up short. And I think that gave them a big boost coming into that game and a lot of confidence. And just having that experience really, really helped them. They definitely played with a chip on their shoulder from that experience. But it was a strange game. Just didn't feel like a normal one, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So it was a bit of a letdown, but that's all right.
For those younger listeners out there, I mean, what are some words of advice you have kids who, you know, might feel these kind of defeats and things like that? What's your word of advice to them to just kind of get back up and keep striving?
Yeah, it's always been a patient mentality for me. Always just keep fighting. Like it's so normal to have your ups and downs, and that's just another down. But I think this program's going to jump right back next year and win the whole thing. So, you know, it's not worth sitting around focusing on the bad, but, you know, focusing on moving forward and getting better.
Tell me about playing for the head coach there, Brett Larson, just in his third season, but already playing for a national championship. He seems to be a really, really respected young coach in college hockey already.
Yeah, like I said, our team is so connected, and every teammate cares about each other, and that all starts at the top. He sets that by example. He cares about each person in the room, and he creates a really family atmosphere in the locker room, and lets you know how much he's grateful that you're there and playing for the team. So he's an unbelievable coach and unbelievable person, and I'm really hoping they can get the job done next year.
Yeah, and I'd be real interested in now that your collegiate career is done at this point, how did you feel the experience went for you as a D1 athlete?
It was, of course, a lot of work. splitting the time up between school and hockey was always tough, especially at Colgate. But it's so worth it, and I was told that at a young age to use my hockey ability to get me places that, you know, I wouldn't be able to get without it. So it all worked out that way. I was so fortunate to go to a school like Colgate and then come to a program like St. Cloud, and just really, really lucky.
What are some of the next plans for the future for you?
I'm not quite sure. I'm gonna keep playing. I'm hoping to play a couple of games in the ECHL this spring, but we'll see what happens next, and then we'll go from there after that and into the summer.
Very good. Glad to know that you're going to keep trying to lace them up professionally. That's always a good thing here. I'm interested, too, just because you mentioned patience and taking your time to kind of get there as a late bloomer. I'd like you to talk to maybe some of the younger hockey players in the audience right now who maybe would like to emulate your footsteps and make it to a D1 program and get a scholarship. What advice do you have for them in trying to achieve their own goals?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably cliche, but it's all the work that you do when nobody's looking. It's the work that you're putting in by yourself and when it's your own choice. I think when you're able to understand of how important it is to put in the extra hours that nobody else is, that's when you'll find the real results. I was fortunate to have my dad around and a lot of good role models that showed me that early. But whether it's, you know, getting stronger in the gym, just stick handling every day, shooting pucks, skating, it's all stuff that you can do at home normally that can set you apart. So,
all right, very good. We can leave the conversation there. Jared Cockrell from Kent's Hill, and a member of the St. Cloud State Huskies national runner-up team. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on a great collegiate career, and we hope to see you in the ECHL, maybe see you even here at the Cross Insurance Arena, either with or against the Maine Mariners here fairly shortly.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be great. That'd be awesome to get back in Portland.
Oh, awesome.
That'd be great to watch.
Awesome.
Man.
We'll get Riley Armstrong on the line, see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much, man.
Jared. We appreciate it. Congratulations again. That's Jared Cockrell, again, from the St. Cloud State Huskies from Kent's Hill, national runner-up, but just a great, great run, Taylor, and seems like a really good guy, too.
Yeah, and for a school that, you know, isn't one of the bigger schools in Minnesota, they're not the Gophers and, you know, things like that. So just to be able to see him find success on a smaller school and not the traditional Golden Gophers is really cool. And of course, three of the four Frozen Fours were from Minnesota. So just, you know, hats off, and can't say enough how talented that state is. And for him to find himself on that team just shows you what kind of player he is.
Yeah. And for Jared saying they take hockey seriously there, and it's no joke. Just look at the Twitter mentions around Hockey East and UMass when they kind of jokingly called themselves the state of hockey because they won a Frozen Four over three Minnesota teams, and how much vitriol was thrown at everyone from Minnesota. How dare you? Oh. It's one thing, and we just beat everybody from Minnesota. It's one thing.